American Family News to the Hour, I'm Chad Groney. The White House expects President Barack Obama to decide relatively soon on his approach to ending the war in Iraq. He met with the four U.S. military service chiefs at the Pentagon Wednesday, one more step toward fulfilling his promise of withdrawing all combat troops from Iraq. Meanwhile, the Iraqi government waits as President Obama considers the troop pullout. National Security Correspondent Sagar Magani has more.
Spokesman Ali al-Dabah tells AP Radio Iraq's ready for whatever the president decides.
We welcome any plan of withdrawal of the troops, as at the end, we have to take the responsibility.
But the Brookings Institution's Michael O'Hanlon says Iraq would be better served if the president waited until after this weekend's provincial elections and consulting with the Iraqis who win office.
That would probably slow things down 6 to 12 months compared to what Obama's currently hoping. But it's still a rather rapid withdrawal, and I think it has a much better chance of preserving stability in Iraq in the process.
Sagar Magani, Washington.
Massive deficits could force the post office to cut one day of mail delivery. The Postmaster General is asking Congress to lift the requirement that the agency deliver mail 6 days a week. Postmaster General John Potter says the post office is poised to run deeply in the red this year.
If current trends continue, we could experience a net loss of $6 billion or more this fiscal year, despite the most aggressive effort in our history to take costs out of our system.
Potter says dwindling mail volume and rising costs left the post office $2.8 billion in the red last year. Alliance Defense Fund wants to help Arkansas residents keep a recently passed constitutional amendment. AFN's Charlie Butts explains.
A lawsuit has been filed against the amendment, and Senior Counsel Bruce Babillon explains what the amendment does.
The Ballot Initiative Peers Act 1, which is a law passed by the people, that says that in order to adopt and foster children in Arkansas, you need to be married and that you can't be a cohabiting couple.
That also bars homosexuals and lesbians. Babillon explains the reason is that survey after survey has revealed that children do better when raised by a married couple, one male, one female. He goes on to say there is no call for judicial activism in the case.
Judges should not derail the democratic process by repealing Act 1 and deliberately depriving children of what the people of Arkansas know and what the research shows is the best home environment for them. That's what the plaintiffs are trying to do in the case, and what the judges should do is quickly dismiss their claim and recognize the right of the people to do the best thing for children.
I'm Charlie Butts.
A Southern California businessman who swapped his luxury car for a clunker is encouraging others to do the same in order to help spread the gospel. AFN's Allie Martin reports.
Several years ago, Mike Foster, a creative director at a successful design firm, bought his dream car, a $50,000 Infiniti sports coupe. Then in 2006, Foster traded his luxury car for a 1993 Toyota Camry he calls the Green Gremlin. Foster now uses the $600 savings every month to support a Christian ministry.
Because I gave up that car payment, I'm now taking that money and able to sponsor four kids through Compassion International. It's just an amazing thing because when I was driving that sports car, it was all about me. And when I traded in that sports car, my car then became an opportunity for me to have my life be about somebody else and releasing kids from poverty.
Soon, Foster began inviting his colleagues and friends to do the same, and now there are more than 3,000 members of the Junkie Car Club. Foster says you don't have to have a $50,000 sports car to be a member.
I run into people all the time that say, you know, Mike, I'd love to support an organization like Compassion, or I'd love to give more to charity, but at the end of the month, I don't have any money left. A great way to respond to that is say, well, what about your car? Are you making car payments? But to say, you know what, let's stop that thinking and get something that we can afford, that we can pay for outright, and then use that money for charitable needs that are out there.
Foster says the slogan of the Junkie Car Club is, live with less to give more. I'm Allie Martin.
And that is American Family News to the Hour. I'm Chad Groening.
I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings and to his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation and a heavenly Father, grace, mercy, justice for all.
Thank you. good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yeshua, Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. The object of this program these days is to go through the Scripture book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse. So that's exactly what we're doing. We are in the book of Psalms, and last time we ended up in Psalm 32. So I'm going to jump right in there. A Psalm of David, Mashil, and the word which means, let's see, we look at it here, didactic poem, instructive. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom Yahuwah imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Reminds me of Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called to according to his purpose, because their sins are forgiven. But most of the world out there, they don't seek forgiveness of sin. Most of them plan to stand on their own righteousness. One of their favorite phrases, which I've probably heard hundreds if not a thousand times, is that I'm a good man, and meaning that God's not going to let me go to hell. But they don't rely on the blood of the Lamb. So their sins are not, their transgression is not forgiven, and their sin is not covered unless they give their lives to the Lamb of God, to his Redeemer. So he says, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord, Yahuwah, by name, the Creator, imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. And if there is no guile in us, it is because he imputes his righteousness to us, and we willingly learn obedience from him. Then every sin, every transgression that we have ever committed will be covered by his blood. That's the promise. Verse 3, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee. I'm wondering, is this, sounds like, well, this is pretty close to where I left off then. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto Yahuwah, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. And he calls all men everywhere to repentance. That is to confess our sins to him. It is only through the confession of our sins, or repentance, and that is to God, not to any man. Now, going into a booth once a week or once a month or however often you feel like you need to do it, and telling some man your sins, but then going out and sinning again, is not going to do you any good at all. Or to rely on that man for forgiveness of sins, not going to do you any good at all. Because there is only one who can forgive sins. You can read it in your scripture. That was one of the accusations brought against the Messiah himself, that only God can forgive sins. Well, yes, so he forgave sins because he was God in the flesh. So it's to him and to him alone that we need to go for forgiveness of sins. And when we acknowledge our sin, he writes his law upon our heart. Because what we're doing, when we acknowledge our sin, we acknowledge his law. So how do you jibe that with the law's nail to the cross? If every time you confess your sins, you're acknowledging the law of God. It doesn't work. If the law is dead, if it's nailed to the cross, we don't have to worry about it anymore. Well, then there's nothing to forgive, is there? So, he calls all men everywhere to repent. And that means to change your mind about those things that you were doing, your transgression, your sin, and acknowledge his law, that it is holy and just and good, that we need to bring our life into conformity with his law and his word so that we can live a life that is pleasing to him because we love him. Continue. Verse 5 of chapter 32. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. So what does the psalmist say? He says, when it's easy, when you can work out your salvation, that's when you call on him. Because in the time of the flood, in the time of great turmoil or whatever disaster may fall upon you, he says, you shall not come nigh unto him. You need to come nigh to him now. Most people will wait until some disaster, until some terrible thing comes into their life, and then they will call on him, and then they will blame him when he is not near. But they had no regard for him when it was easy, when things were good. They didn't care. So he says, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, the untrained, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in Yahuwah, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and of course the Creator by name, Yahuwah, and rejoice, be righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Chapter 33 and verse 1, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise Yahuwah with harp, sing unto him with the psaltery, and an instrument of 10 strings, sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise, for the word of Yahuwah is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And of course, Yahuwah by name. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear Yahuwah. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Yes, and all of the inhabitants of the world will stand in awe of him. One day, for every knee will bow. They may not stand in awe today, but they will, and most of them will fall before him. And for most it will be too late. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Yahuwah bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. And there's the difference. Yes, the heathen, those that make devices that will come to none effect, Well, they may work for a while. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it. But that's their test. If they can get away with a little something, it reveals who they are. So they continue in their folly. And that's really, to a great measure, what this life is all about and what this mortal existence is all about. It's to try everyone to see what sort of man or woman you are. And you see what sort of man or woman you are by the decisions you make and then the decisions you continue to make. Because some men make terrible decisions and then they repent and they change their ways. But most men make terrible decisions and they cover them up or justify them or continue to profit by the suffering and the abuse of others. So they prosper for a little while. But the counsel of the Lord, and of course our Creator by name, Yahuwah, the counsel of Yahuwah standeth forever. He brings the counsel of the heathen and all those who are ungodly to nothing. So he makes the devices of them of none effect, because they will have no effect in eternity. The only effect their devices will have is to condemn them for the choices that they've made. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. So his counsel stands forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is Yahuwah. The psalmist, of course, writing at a time, and he was the king that was chosen for Israel, of course, with a government that was second best, a government of kings, where the people said, "We want a king like the other nations." Of course, David being the second king, the one chosen by the Creator, but still not the first choice of government for the people of Israel. But he says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is Yahuwah." Is there such a nation today? Is there such a nation today? Well, there is such a nation today. But the nation today whose people is Yahuwah, or the Lord, as it's written in the Authorized King James Version, they don't have a landmass they can call their own, because the whole earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So they dwell over all the earth. There's a remnant in every nation that has him as their God. So blessed is the nation. Are you part of that nation? It's a holy nation. It's set apart for him. It's not part of the world. They don't incorporate with the world. They don't agree to follow the policies of the world, because they live by the word of God, because they're part of his nation. And his nation has a king. He is the King of Heaven, and he is also the King of Kings. So it's a holy nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is Yahuwah, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. You know, I just pray, I want to be one of those people that he's chosen. Scripture also says, many are called, but few are chosen. And why are few chosen? Well, simply because few answer the call. Most of them are too busy. Or they might answer the call, but you know, after a while they might get persecuted, or they may have to give up this or that convenience, or they may want to make this compromise so that they don't have to lose whatever it was they had in the past. They may get tempted or something. But you can read the parable of the sower. You can learn all about that. The people he has chosen for his own inheritance. Of course, perhaps in context, you know, David is thinking about Israel, his people, his nation. But when I read this, I think about the nation that is here now on the earth. And also that nation is also composed of David and Adam and Eve and everyone who lived by faith, who chose to live a life of obedience to their Creator, looking forward to the promised Redeemer and the promised redemption of their bodies and the resurrection of the dead. That is the holy nation. That is the nation set apart. That is the blessed nation whose God is Yahuwah and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. I want to be part of that nation, part of that people. So I will endure to the end, as the scripture says. I will work out my salvation with fear and trembling. Chapter 33 and verse 13. The Lord, of course, the Creator by name, Yahuwah, looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He sees you. You may hide from him, but he sees you. The only thing that you're hiding is him from yourself. You're blinding yourself from him because he sees you. He knows you. He knows where you are. And this life for you, your mortal existence, that grace period that he gave you to choose life or death, to choose his plan for redemption or to pay the price for your own sins. Because you love your sins, you will pay the price for them. But if you love him more than you love your sins, then the blood of his only begotten Son will cover your sins. You get to choose. He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. And of course, the point being here is that we don't look to things. We don't look to horses or armies or guns for salvation. The king is not saved by a multitude. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. And of course, speaking of an army, when using the word horse here, because they had horses and chariots and their armies. Behold, the eye of Yahuwah, the Lord, is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death. See, that's the point. Doesn't matter what happens in this life, because we know that all things work together for our good. Regardless, he delivers our soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for Yahuwah. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. Is your hope in him? Then his mercy is upon you accordingly. That's the end of chapter 33. We're into chapter 34 now. And as a note for anyone listening to this program for the first time or recent listeners to the program, hearing the word of our Heavenly Father, the word of God, and being moved to continue listening, perhaps being fed with this bread of heaven, I invite you to dine with us on the word of our Heavenly Father. Also, if you have internet access, which maybe a good number of you are listening on the internet. I know there are some listening by FM radio out there or satellite, and I welcome you all. If you have internet access, I bid you to go to e-sword.net and download the Bible program there. When you download the Bible program at e-sword.net, e-sword.net, you will get the Authorized King James Version Bible with keyed with the Greek and Hebrew, a Strong's numbering system, and invaluable study tool. Before this one became available on the internet, free, I purchased Bible study software programs going back into the early 1990s when they became available. I used one called QuickVerse. I think that was the last one I used, and I perhaps tried another one or several more out. And this one is more powerful than any of those that I paid for. Of course, they do take donations, so if you feel led to give there, I suggest that you do that. But do download that program, and then when I say something like, "Oh, magnify Yahuwah," and it says, "The Lord," in the Authorized King James Version, and I say, "The Creator by name," you'll realize that in the original text, the name of the Creator was not omitted. It was only omitted in the translation and replaced with a phrase, "The Lord." We'll be back after this break and we'll continue our study in the Psalms. Don't go anywhere.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you because you love the truth. LibertyRadioLive.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, "Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's." I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
FlyingEagleGold.com says don't buy the sizzle of that steak until you understand the cost. In other words, don't buy the hype being dispensed by the rare coin pitchman over the alternative media until you understand the full story. Jeffrey Bennett has been a purveyor of wealth protection, gold and silver bullion, and rare collectible coins for over 17 years. His personal experience reaches back to 1958. FlyingEagleGold.com offers the most private, non-confiscable gold and silver coinage in the world at a very competitive cost. And Jeffrey takes personal pride in putting your interests ahead of all else. You're invited to call Flying Eagle Gold at 623-327-1778. That's 623-327-1778 for the truth about protecting your wealth. Join Jeffrey Bennett each day, Monday through Friday, when he hosts right here on LibertyRadioLive.com. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, you may subscribe at LibertyRadioLive.com for only $45 a month. And you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all the First Amendment Rights Media Group programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you can request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $20. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD or CD for only $15. You can do all this online at LibertyRadioLive.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet? Then call 559-781-3773, 559-781-3773, and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at the First Amendment Rights Media Group.
Back to Cross the Border. We're going through the Psalms here, so we're going to jump into Psalm 34 in verse 1. A Psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. And that's kind of an interesting phrase, when he changed his behavior. The title of this psalm tells us both who penned it and upon what occasion it was penned. David being forced to flee from his country, which was made too hot for him by the rage of Saul, sought shelter as near it as he could in the land of the Philistines. There it was soon discovered who he was, and he was brought before the king, who in the narrative is called Achish, his proper name here, Abimelech, his title. And lest he should be treated as a spy or one that came thither upon design, he feigned himself to be a madman. Such there have been in every age, that even by idiots men might be taught to give God thanks for the use of their reason, that Achish might dismiss him as a contemptible man, rather than take cognizance of him as a dangerous man. And it had the effect he desired. By this stratagem he escaped a hand that otherwise would have handled him roughly. So there we have a little commentary from Henry. And we were speaking of getting that eSword program. And while you're over there at e-sword.net, do download the Henry commentary and take advantage of that. That way, if you get stuck on something, I find that Henry can be very helpful with some of the archaic language of the 1600s, which has carried over, and explain it quite thoroughly, having written his commentary shortly after the translation into English. So David, a Psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed, I will bless Yahuwah at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify Yahuwah with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought Yahuwah, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and Yahuwah heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that Yahuwah is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear Yahuwah, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And here we have David in a time of terrible turmoil, driven out of his home, from his family, from all of the comforts of his life. Yet you listen to his words. And he says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek Yahuwah shall not want in any good thing. What is David talking about? How could he say this, knowing the circumstances that he's in? Because his view is eternal. That's why. Because he knows that this life is short. And as the scripture proclaims, it's but a vapor. It appears for a little while, and then it passes away. But forever is a very long time. You know, I feel sorry for people, for all of those out there who have no faith, who have rejected faith for the things of this world and the things that this life has to offer, and they feel rich and fulfilled in those things, but not really. They have that big empty hole that they keep trying to fill with more stuff. But I feel sorry for them, because that's all they get. And they don't look forward enough to the point when they die and they have to leave everything that they worked for, that they lived for, that they compromised for, that they caused the suffering of other people for. They have to leave it all behind. They will leave with nothing. All of those things that they loved more than they love the Creator, they will have none of them. Zero, nothing will they take with them to the grave. It's a terrible thought. So David can say that, we can say it too, regardless of what is going on, because we have that view that's eternal. And we know that the things that we treasure will go with us, because the things that we treasure are not of this world, because we love the Creator more than we love the creation. And we love our neighbor as we love ourselves, according to God's law, because we love God first. Remember those two great commandments? When Yahshua was asked, what is the great commandment? He said, love God. And he said, the second one is like unto it, love your neighbors yourself. And it has to be in that order, or it's all wrong. Because only he can teach us how to love properly. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of Yahuwah. And you know, that is part of the fear. The fear is, you are going to die. And you're going to lose everything. And what will you gain? Well, you'll gain the things that you can't take with you, that you cherished. suffering. If you sowed suffering, you'll reap suffering. If you sowed violence, well, you'll reap violence. Envy, strife, lust, all of those things that you sowed in this life to get all of the things to satisfy your love of the creation more than the Creator. Yes, you'll have all of that forever in eternity. You'll have unsatisfied lust forever in eternity. You'll have all of the hatred you can wallow in, and all of the suffering will come back on you that you plagued others with, that you wished on others. Yes, all of the murders that you participated in by supporting abortion. That's right. It's all going to come back on you. That's a terrible thought. He says, "Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of Yahuwah." And that is the fear of Yahuwah. It's plain in the scripture. A lot of people comfort themselves that they don't have to deal with that God of the Old Testament, that God of judgment. While the New Testament says, "Fear not him who can kill the body, but fear him who can cast both body and soul into hell." He is the same God. Don't comfort yourself with false assurances. Learn the fear of Yahuwah, the fear of the Lord, our Creator. Verse 12, chapter 34. What man is he that desireth life, that loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil, and do good. Seek peace, and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of Yahuwah is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The time will come when no one will remember you. And just think about it. People have spent their life pursuing things to fulfill the lusts of their flesh. Who cares after they're gone? Who cares after they're dead? They live no more, and they're just going to the hell and then to the judgment, where they will receive their sentence, where they will pay the price for their sins in death. And it won't be a comforting death either. It won't be a death of non-existence, as many comfort themselves with. It will be a terrible death, and it will be a death that will last forever, because indeed you reap what you sow, and there is no escaping that. So he is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Verse 17, the righteous cry, and Yahuwah heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. And we will be delivered out of all their troubles. If not in this life, in the life to come, there will be no trouble for us. And I'll tell you, I look forward to that day when there will be no trouble. I love his appearing. And I'm trying just to call as many as I can to join me, to cross the border into the kingdom of heaven, where he is the king, where his law is supreme, where we desire to have his law written upon our minds and in our hearts, that we might not sin against him, that we could live a life that is pleasing to our Heavenly Father, because we love him. And why do we love him? Because he loved us first. He loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son so that we could have everlasting life. He is near. Verse 18. Yahuwah is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. It doesn't say you won't have a broken heart. It says he's near to those that are of a broken heart, and save us such as be of a contrite heart. Spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. If anyone tells you the lie, says, "Oh, just accept Jesus and your life will be good. You won't have to worry about a thing." You know, I think that may be an agent of Satan who would whisper something like that in your ear, because what he wants you to do is run and reject God and accuse him when the affliction comes. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but Yahuwah delivereth him out of them all. Well, we may not like his timetable for delivering us, and those afflictions are there just to try our faith, but stand fast, endure to the end, and be saved, because forever is a long time. This life is very short, and he will deliver us out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. They will be desolate. Our enemies, those who continue to hate the righteous, those who will not repent, but set about to persecute and destroy the righteous, they shall be desolate. Yahuwah redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. And of course, desolate means destruction, means to perish. We're in Psalms chapter 35, a psalm of David. Plead my cause, Yahuwah, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. See what our good friend Henry has to say here. David in this psalm appeals to the righteous judge of heaven and earth against his enemies that hated and persecuted him. It is supposed that Saul and his party are the persons he means, for with them he had the greatest struggles. He complains to God of the injuries they did him. They strove with him. He fought against them, persecuted him, and sought his ruin, and accused him falsely, abused him basely, and all his friends, and triumphed over him. And he pleads his own innocency, that he never gave them any provocation. So he says, plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler, and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear, and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of Yahuwah chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause they have hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch him. Into that very destruction let him fall, and my soul shall be joyful in Yahuwah. It shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which deliverest the poor from him that is too strong? For him, yea, the poor and the needy, from him that spoileth him. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. But in mine adversity they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me and ceased not. And, you know, here's a great warning against rejoicing in the adversity of others, and especially you out there that rejoice in the adversity of the righteous when they're being persecuted by the wicked. I would be much afraid if I were you. The problem with those people is they're not afraid at all. They have no fear whatsoever. At least they don't show any. I believe deep down inside they're hiding that fear. They need to repent. Every single one of them. Chapter 35 and verse 16. With hypocritical mockers in feast, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Let not them that are my enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. Yea, they opened their mouth wide against me, and said, Aha, aha, our eye hath seen it. This thou hast seen, O Yahuwah, keep not silence, O Lord, be not far from me. Stir up thyself and awake to my judgment, even to my cause, my God and my Lord. Judge me, O Yahuwah, my God, according to thy righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, Ah, so would we have it. Let them not say, We have swallowed him up. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice at mine hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, Let Yahuwah be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Chapter 36 and verse 1. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, the transgression of the wicked, saith within my heart, There is no fear of God before his eyes. Henry says, It is uncertain when and upon what occasion David penned the psalm. Probably when he was struck at either by Saul or Absalom. And of course, Saul being the first king of Israel, who persecuted David after David became popular for slaying, and they sang the song of David, that Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s or something like that, and Saul became jealous of David and pursued him and wanted to kill him. And of course, we have a totally different situation with his son Absalom, so we have a wide disparity of time here. For Henry doesn't know whether David penned the psalm on which occasion. Sometimes we can guess and sometimes we can't, but he doesn't seem to want to take a stab at it here. So we'll talk about Absalom. Absalom, of course, was a son of David, and this was after, of course, David sinned with Bathsheba, and the curse, yes, the curse, as a punishment for his sin. He would not lose his soul or his salvation. He continued to be the man after God's own heart, and to be a man after God's own heart requires that if we do sin, or if we sin greatly, then we need to suffer for that sin even more greatly. Unfortunate, but true. And when we get back, we'll talk a little bit more about how Absalom has anything to do with the suffering and the punishment that was pronounced upon David by Yahuwah through the prophet. We'll be back after some messages and the news.